Yes, U.S. stocks plummeted with the Dow Jones Industrials dropping more than 300 points. My, oh, my, oh, my, what is going on? Sean David Morton, he has made some predictions about the stock market. We'll talk with him in a moment about that and many other things on Coast to Coast AM. Sean David Morton first came to national attention with his investigations into Area 51, accurate predictions regarding the 1989 San Francisco earthquake. He later went on to very successfully predict other earthquakes, 92 Landers, 94 Northridge, the 95 Kobe Japan quakes, and recently was right on a couple more Japan earthquakes. And in order to get this accurate predictions out to the world, he formed the Prophecy Research Institute. He publishes the Delphi Associates newsletter. SeanDavidMorton.com is his website. He's also got DelphiAssociates.org. Full guest tonight, as I promised you, Sean, on Coast to Coast. Welcome back.
Thanks, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Fantastic. A great, great hour of radio. The first hour. Fantastic. Kudos. 5 stars. Excellent.
Well, we have the great team that knows how to put this stuff. They learn my pacing now.
Well, it's wonderful, too, that you're focusing on. I think the situation with the Browns is very interesting, very intricate legally, and I think it's great that you're one of the only real, well, a couple of mainstream outlets have sort of looked at them, but certainly without, I don't think the exposure that you've given them on Coast and some of the national media has given them, that this would have turned into possibly another Waco or another Ruby Ridge type situation. And
it's
always good to hear Alex on there talking about the real challenges with what's going on with the stop loss contracts and all that. And of course, Lou Dobbs today did a great story on CNN, and you also carrying it, this story on the two border guards. So fantastic stuff, man. It's great to hear you just in top form and covering things that, as we were talking about on the Art Bell Tribute Show, that the show's, you know, your program and the concept of the show is all about the truth, and that's why it's going to last as long as it has, and because truth sets people free, and that's why people come back to it, and that's why people love you so much and love all the hosts on the program so much, because it's a place where we get reasons in a world that is unreasoning, and media that asks us to simply spoon feeds us a whole series of regurgitated facts without any rhyme or reason behind it. So God bless you. Anyway,
well,
first
thank
hour
you,
was great.
Hey, lots of things to talk with you about.
Boy.
But the timing of the stock market today.
Right.
Let's key in on that for a little bit. I mean, you made predictions that it was going to go over 13,000. It did.
Yeah, it went 13.5.
It kept going, and it hit 14, and right now it seems to be in a small free fall. What's going on?
What's happening right now? Let me just give you what I got right and what I got. Well, it wasn't exactly wrong. I got some emails from people who were, I don't know. I mean, here I predicted it was going to go to 13, would readjust, would bounce up to 13.5, it would readjust a little bit, and then on its way to, and I think the prediction on the show was that we'd see it at 14,000 by August, I think is what I said. 14,000 by August. Also on the program, I said that the market was going to readjust. First, I thought it was between May 15th and June 15th is what I sent on the show. I sent out a notice to people that I was extending the readjustment up until about the 21st of June. The market in that period of time readjusted. It did not readjust 10% like I expected. It readjusted, and people are actually mad at me for this. It readjusted between about 4% and 6%, I think, in that period of time.
Why are they mad at you for that?
Because they're like, get on George and tell him you were wrong because you were wrong about the timing of the readjustment of the market. And I'm like, you're mad because I predicted the market would go to 14 and then. I don't know. There's no rhyme or reason behind it. Anyway, I just want to tell you that my prediction was that we would see a 10% readjustment, which would be approximately a 1,300 to 13.5 drop in the market in that period of time when it was only about, as I said, between about 4% and 6% or so. Today, the market readjusted. And let me just give people some perspective here. A 300-point drop in the market. And let me see. I've got I've got exactly what it closed at today. And the 300-point drop in the market, dropped to 13,473.
That's what, 2.5%?
2.26% of the market. That's how much it dropped, and everybody's panicking about this. It's also kind of interesting, too, because what is they are claiming fueling the drop in the market is also another thing that we talked about at length, and this was almost a year ago, when I talked about, you know, please, Lord God, that people needed to watch what was going to go on with the housing market, and that the housing market was going to plunge.
Well, and that's what's causing all this.
Yes, and today in the Los Angeles Times, they have now said that the housing market, that foreclosures in Los Angeles County from last year are up 800% in LA County, 600% in Orange County, and out in San Bernardino County, they are up over 1,000%. These are foreclosures, bank foreclosures on homes. And if you will remember, on this program, we talked about, and this was the June program we did back in 2006, I think it was. We said very specifically, and let's just, you know, lay out where this was. There were reports that a group of very wealthy people got together called the Bilderbergers, which many people know about. And Jim Tucker, who has done the journeyman work on this, who's infiltrated these meetings, and these people said that they were about ready to collapse the credit markets, and Bush's economic advisor was like sitting in the front row while they were doing this. And one person in the audience said, "These stupid Americans deserve everything they're about to get," which is what was stated in that meeting, that they were going to collapse the lending markets and all these crazy things were going to happen, and that people were going to start losing their homes. And but this was all, I mean, let me blow a little trumpet here. Back in 97, 98, for this period of time, between the 2005 and approximately 2008 time frame, I was saying that we would see the markets, and this is going back all the way back to when I first started publishing
right.
the newsletter.
And you also said a meltdown coming in November of this year.
Yeah, and I have some differing opinions on that now.
Really? Okay.
What's going on with the markets now? With the readjustment of the market, I think that, and this is what I said 10 years ago now, when I talked about this period of time that we would see the markets between, that before we saw the final collapse of the stock market, that we would see the stock market at a low end, I said that the market would be at approximately 14,500. And this was back in 98, 99, I was talking about this, for this period of time. And at the high end, we would see the stock market, the Dow Jones specifically, at about 16,500, about 16,500.
When I heard you then say things like that, I thought you were insane.
Thank you. Well, so did Art. So did everybody else. But it's those are one of the things that you have to ride out. Now, we're not so far away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that what was going to happen with the market specifically was that you would have all of these major companies would begin to buy up every other major company. The big fish would eat all the little fish. And that as the it's sort of like if you take a piece of paper and kind of squeeze it from both ends, that the economy is now based on a very rickety Jenga tower, if you will, where people are sort of taking pieces from the bottom and putting them on the top and just hoping they're not the guy that, you know, knocks over the Jenga tower. And in this case, you have seen exactly what I have said, which is that the market is being driven by 35 blue chip stocks. Front page of the LA Times 3 days ago was when the market busted 14,000. Another thing I spoke of too was I recommended one of the big stocks I recommended was people getting into Caterpillar Tractor. Remember when I said that?
I remember that some time ago.
Today, front page of the LA Times, the second largest profit leader of the year of the major blue chip stocks, behind Alcoa, by the way, is Caterpillar Tractor. So if you'd gotten into Caterpillar when I told your listeners to do so at that time, Caterpillar was trading at 88 to about 91 or so, and $91. It went up to about 120 or so. It then split 2-for-1. So just this year, it's booked a 48% profit so far. And then last year, I think it booked another, you would have basically made close to about 140% on your money.
Not bad.
Just with that prediction. So that,
with a strong company. Too.
Right. Yeah, and it's a great company. It's an American company. And remember, when I was talking about Caterpillar, I was saying, well, here's the trend, George, that there are going to be a series of disasters. There are going to be a series of major hurricanes in the South, and these are going to wipe out entire cities, and the people that are going to be left to clean it up and do all this massive construction are going to be companies like Caterpillar Tractor.
Yep. Yeah, they will need their machines.
So this is taking psychic information and projective information and trying to apply that to the markets to say, all right, I see a wave building. How
yes.
do I get to the bottom of that wave and surf that wave into the shore and at the same time apply what we know psychically into the real world, which is what companies and are going to facilitate the trends of what's coming next. And with the markets now, and this is where my big change has been in my opinions about November. I still think it's going to be just, I think major things are going to hit the fan by November. I had, in preparation for the show tonight, I had some conversations with some very heavy-duty intelligence guys who basically gave me a synopsis of a 600-page Senate Intelligence Committee report about Iraq and what's going on and what's happening with Bush and the Israelis and the British and everything else. And after this conversation, I'm just shaking my head, just thinking, man, we're so doomed. I don't know what to do. But all right, let me talk about the markets. So the markets are we're going to see the market by August, September. You'll see this is a minor glitch in the market. You're going to see it bounce back.
Housing might not, but you're saying the markets will.
Yeah, well, the housing, remember, what has to happen is that it's everything's getting shaken out. They're kind of grabbing the dog and shaking out the fleas, so to speak. You're now finding that as short-term credit is collapsing, the biggest challenge really is going to be that what are they going to do with the money supply? And now I'm convinced that instead of allowing the stock market to collapse and instead of allowing these 35 blue chip companies and the blue chip companies to go south, that they're just going to print money, and that Bernanke, Ben Shalom Bernanke, is going to make good on his promise that, quote, I will throw money out of helicopters if it helps the economy, because all I am seeing with no end in sight is the printing of capital. And since they took the Federal Reserve note off the M3 index, which I warned everybody in March of 2006 that a year from now we would be looking at an inflation rate of between 20 and 25%, and we are. And they are simply lying about what the inflation index is, because now no one knows how much money is in circulation. The Russians, the Iranians, and the North Koreans are counterfeiting $100 bills like it's going out of style, to the point of where not only do they steal the plates where we have our printing plants in South Korea, because they moved them from Philadelphia. And
wait a minute. Are you saying we're printing up our money in South Korea?
South Korea, because it's cheaper. It's cheaper.
Even that has gone abroad?
It was to print a bill, whether or not it's a $1 bill or a $1,000 bill or a 50 or a 20 or whatever, was about 14 cents to actually do it here in the United States.
The Federal Reserve, you're saying, did this. The private corporation.
It cost 4 cents to do it in South Korea. And that's another reason why. And what else do they do there?
Unbelievable.
They do The Simpsons. They do all this animation because they have all these artworks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's been going on for years.
So they've not only bought the paper, but there's a very specific type of press, which is called an indigo press. And the North Koreans just bought one. I mean, they had agents to print our money. And now the challenge is that nobody knows how much money is in circulation, which means that there are no real stops on this, which means that fake hundreds are just flooding the global market. Let me give you one more example. Vladimir Putin was in Kennebunkport, and he's been going back and forth in all these top secret, very high level meetings,
right,
that have had a lot to do with very specific, let me put it this way, opinions that President Putin has about possible future actions by the United States in Iran. And there were two security officials, and this was in the news, there were two security officials who went to a convenience store and paid for their whatever it is they were buying with a $100 bill. And the gentleman behind the counter ran the pen through it to see if it was fake. And this Russian security guy dove across the counter to try to get the bill back from the guy. And a big Megillah ensued. And it turns out that Putin's guys were walking around with handfuls of fake hundreds.
Unbelievable.
So if he is coming back and forth into the country as the president, and of course he travels under a diplomatic visa.
With a satch.
With a diplomatic pouch. There is the possibility that along with these junkets, that the Russians may be doing the exact same thing to the United States that the United States did with the whole Leo Wanta and Charlie Wilson affair, and basically bankrupting the
Soviet
Russian
Union
economy
at the time. Yeah.
And counterfeiting their money and everything Reagan did to them. I mean, he took their credit rating from 1985 through 1989 and turned it from from AA to about 4F or so in less than 4 years by counterfeiting the ruble, by destroying their bond market, by wiping out their treasury. And, of course, in November of 1989, the Western European banks would no longer float the loans of the Soviet Union. This was like the 10th of November, and then 7 days later they walked away from the Berlin Wall. So that gives you an idea of what's going on economically with what's happening. In November, when the crux point happens, and this is going to be between about the 10th and the 30th of November, there are a series of, I don't even know how to describe this, but there's a cosmic perfect storm that's happening in terms of planetary alignments, in terms of specific events that are coming up in both the Mayan and Aztec calendars. There's a man by the name of Dr. Carl Johan Kalman, who has something called the Kalman Index, and he's talking about how November, I think it's November 17th is the exact date of this year, begins what he calls the Year of Armageddon. That it is in fact the what he calls the fifth night in the Aztec calendar that leads to 1 year of conflict and conflagration specifically between the East and the West. That this Armageddon, I think that, again, I've stated to watch the euro, that we would see the meteoric rise of the euro.
That's happening.
That the euro was, that there's no such thing as the European Union. The European Union is the Germans. The European Union is, for lack of a better term, the reestablishment of a Fourth Reich, if you will. It's like it's Hitler's dream. It's all the Hitler with none of the Adolf, as they say. It's kind of like Hitler light what they're doing, where they're trying to combine Europe together. They're trying to subjugate a number of sovereign nations into buying this. They've given up the Europeans voting on these treaties now, and now they're going towards doing it as a treaty instead of a constitution, to basically make it so that the power elites can vote on it without having to actually submit it to the people. So here is the question. This is the $64,000 question economically. If we are at the edge of the Weimar Republic, the end of the Weimar Republic, Germany 1932, pre-Hitler, are we to the point of where, if now all indicators point to the fact that with approximately, and this was March of last year, there was about 650 to approximately 700 billion dollars Federal Reserve notes in circulation, in hard circulation at that time. And this is a figure that comes from an interview that I did with the head of the Federal Reserve in San Francisco, because I said, well, how much is the debt? And he said, well, it's somewhere around 8 trillion or so. And I said, does that have to be paid back with Federal Reserve notes? He said, yes. How many are in circulation? And he said, about 650, 700 billion. How are we supposed to pay the debt back when there's not that much money in the world?
They just make some more.
And he said, well, and his exact words were, well, I'm assuming that they're going to go to some kind of credit debit system fairly soon. In other words, some kind of cashless society. And the shock of this is that if you figure that there's been about 250, about $300 billion put into circulation in the last year, that's a third of the money supply that's been created in the last year, to the point of where even the Congress got up on its hind legs and got angry at this, because the Fed printed a bunch of money, walked over to the Capitol, and bought a whole series of U.S. Treasury bonds that are actually backed by government property. And even the Congress said, hey, wait a minute, you can't just print the stuff up in the basement, sprinkle a bunch of fairy dust on it like they're Keebler elf cookies or something, and come in and buy things that are worth something. So even the Congress is starting to realize this, and now we have a very interesting political and economic situation. We have Vladimir Putin, who is now completely out from under the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, excuse me, Russia is now debt-free as of the 1st of June. He's completely paid off his debt. The Russians are swimming in money and capital right now. He is talking about hooking the ruble up to the euro. And there was a very famous picture of Putin where he was holding up a big bar of gold, because he's seriously now thinking about actually linking the ruble to the gold standard. This will be very good for people actually in the gold markets, by the way. And at the same time, it appears as though he has successfully managed to dissuade the Bush administration through a series of kind of threats and deals and what have you to delay action against the Iranians.
Hey, Sean, when we come back, let's continue talking about this. I want some picks, then we're going to get into earthquakes. I want to tell you about the After Dark newsletter, where you can get 14 great issues for the price of 12. Call 1-888-727-5505, or you can also go online at coasttocoastam.com. Hey, Sean, before we move into some earthquakes, give me specifics about how you think the economy will go then, and if you want to throw a pick or two, go ahead.
All right. Well, in once again, the big flux here is going to be in November. We're looking at a massive hyperinflation of the economy, specifically with huge amounts of money being dumped into a lot of various sectors, which are going to keep the blue chip stocks very high. Again, now it looks as though, I think with this readjustment of the market occurring right now, usually when you have a pullback, and again, it's so minor. It's like I said, a bounce of 2% has everybody going crazy because the market dropped like 300%.
They look at the number, not the percent.
Yeah, they look at the number because it's because we're used to it, because people are still in the 90s mindset of when the market was at 4,000 or 3,000 or something like that, when drops like this were 10% of the market. So this is not a big deal. The market is being driven. But what is good for Wall Street is not good for Main Street. What has now happened is that, again, 35 companies now own everything. Those 35 companies are going to become 30 companies, then 25 companies, then 20 companies. And the trend towards gigantic conglomerate merger buyouts is simply just going to continue ad nauseum. And it's not good for anybody in the world. Something is going to break in November, and I think it's going to have to do with some major shakeups in the executive branch, some things with Cheney and Bush, some very heavy-duty fluxes, once again, away from the United States towards Germany and the European Union. Let me give you one kind of interesting insight here as far as the economy. I talked about talking about a 30-year arc of the economy going all the way up to the year 2034 or so, which seems like science fiction now. If you understand astrology and how astrology actually works in the chart of the United States, if I told you in 1945, for example, to invest in General Motors, or to invest in the automotive industry in Detroit, and to invest in things that had to do with brick and mortars and business, or to reinvest in Germany and Japan, a few thousand dollars back then would have netted you billions over the course of 30 years. If in 1974 I told you to invest in computer companies like Microsoft as an example. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a very minor investment would have netted you billions of dollars through then. Here's what's so fascinating about it. Let me try to just explain this and kind of boil this down very, very briefly. The progressed sun of the United States. The United States is a cancer country, and because we're July 4th of 1776. There are debates as to whether or not we've got, I think, either Gemini or Capricorn rising or so, depending on which chart of the United States you use. One way or another, there are 30-year periods in which we're under the influence of a particular sign. So from 1945 to approximately 1974, the progressed sun of the United States was traveling through Capricorn. And so Capricorn many people thought that the 50s and the mid-60s were the golden age of the United States. It was about cars. It was about bricks and mortar. It was about factories. It was about industry. It was about buying property, buying land. The United States, in reactivating and refunding Germany and Japan, set the entire world up as a business, which is what Capricorn is all about. Well, here's where it gets really fun, is that then you have the progressed sun of the United States moving into Aquarius in 1974, 2 weeks before Microsoft is founded. And you saw all of the things that happened in the late 60s through the early 70s. You saw the drug revolution. You saw communes. You saw the whole hippie movement. You saw tie-dyes. All the things that you saw in the late 60s and early 70s were that cusp period leading up to an Aquarius age. And what does Aquarius represent? Aquarius being the water bearer, who is pouring out not water but energy, because Aquarius is an air sign. It's two squiggly lines that don't represent water but represent electromagnetic energy. And so what has happened in the last 30 years? From 1974 to November of 2004, when the progressed sun of the United States has been going through Aquarius, everything has gone to Wi-Fi, has gone through to transmission of energy, power, and information through the air, which is exactly what Aquarius represents. So with with Microsoft coming along, with Apple Computer coming along, with Wi-Fi happening, with cell phones, with satellites, with everything that's going on, it's all about the transmission of energy and information through the air and through space. Now, this is what's really interesting, is that now the progressed sun of the United States it was on the election, I think, which was November...
The last midterm election?
The last midterm is 2004, November...
2006,
November 8th,
wasn't
it? Was when the election was, the 8th or the 4th of the election date.
That was the big election, but 2006.
The 2004 election, the hours after that election, actually, the progressed sign of the United States moved into Pisces. So what do we look for investment opportunities? We're looking for things that have to do with the sign Pisces. Pisces is a water sign. It rules the hands. It rules the feet. It rules the oceans. It rules shipping. It rules submarines. It rules shoes. It rules everything that has to do with conservation of the oceans as well. So what do we see now happening? And I think this is going to be the biggest next wave of the future. I think that there are going to be companies that are going to appear that will have engines based on burning seawater, for example. And I think that you're going to a couple of picks that I really liked a few months ago that I think are just going to completely blow up are companies like Crocs, which are the shoes that are those the rubber shoes that you wear on the beach that that are waterproof. They're called Crocs.
Is that K? Is that a K or a C?
Crocs, like a crocodile.
Okay.
They've got
C.
A little crocodile. They sponsor all the beach volleyball events and
okay,
all that.
Okay.
Skechers is another shoe company that I think is going to be a big, big deal. I made my first couple $100,000 in the stock market back in the 80s by investing in a company called, I think I turned 10 grand at about 250K.
For your group or you personally?
Me personally. When
You've got that money, that kind of money now?
Yeah, I'm managing an investment fund. I'm managing the Delphi Associates Investment Group, and the investment group is primarily focused on foreign exchange investing. We're trading currencies. And I'm using remote viewing to trade currencies. And so we've got four separate accounts that are worth somewhere around, I think I'm managing about $6 million now.
You sly little devil, you.
Well, it's not my money. It's, you know, it's investors that have come into a corporation and limited liability partnerships. And what we do is that I do charts on a Sunday that then I submit to my analyst who has a desk in Vermont. And we trade currencies back and forth to each other. And let me give you one other.
I hope you're talking about a financial analyst and not a mental analyst.
Yeah, financial analyst. I'm sorry. I mean, my psychiatrist.
John, I will.
That might not be so bad. But Skechers, Crocs, things that have to do with submarines, boating. I'm actually working on, for my next Delphi newsletter, I'm working on a whole list of companies that I think are going to be very specific to the age of Pisces. It's also, George, programs like yours. Pisces has to do with dream states, with spirit, with that which you think becoming... I think the two most interesting things that have been the big movers and shakers have been the huge interest in The Secret, which is all about taking what you think and making it physical reality. And the opening of the Finding Nemo ride at Disneyland is the perfect Pisces wave that you have the submarines reopening at Disneyland and they've all got the funny little fish. And my wife, Melissa, and I, you know, she's Mormon. And so Disneyland is like Mecca for the Mormons. So it's, you know, the Muslims have Mecca and the Romans have the Vatican and the Mormons have Disneyland. So we went out on the first day. When it opened to go ride the Finding Nemo ride, when the submarines opened out in Disneyland. And that is the ultimate expression of Pisces, that it's about exploration, it's about submarines, it's about water, it's about fish. It has to do with the dream state, taking that which you think and making it physical reality. So everything that you're doing in terms of the metaphysical aspect of, it also means people coming together. It means that people will, especially in the United States, great water-related catastrophes like Katrina, for example, that happened after that, like the tsunami, the Sumatran tsunami that happened in December of 2005.
Mm-hmm.
It also has to do with people helping, and a new paradigm where when you see the economic collapses that are going to come by, I think beginning in November and then through 2008 and through 2009. People are going to have to walk away from a materialistic lifestyle. And I think the next big wave is going to be people living in smaller, self-contained...
By the way, it was 2004, December 26, 2004, for that quake.
For what? I'm sorry?
The Sumatra quake was 2004.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. All right. So it was right after, but it was right after the whole, the Pisces progression, even though it wasn't here in the United States. But it was, the idea of this was specifically that I see the whole next Pisces, the whole next Piscean wave having to do with people coming together, people helping. Literally, let me help, I think, is going to be the watchword for the world. And let me give you one other key here as to what's going on with the currencies around the world, because I've been doing stuff with the foreign exchange currencies. What's happening is the United States, the manufacturing sector in the United States has been doing fairly well because Europeans, it is cheaper for them to buy a ticket and get on a plane and fly to New York to buy clothes than it is for them to buy clothes in their own country.
I believe that.
So the United States is becoming literally the new Mexico because the British pound is up. The British pound was up to oh my goodness, what was it at today? It was like $2 and it was like 206 today. The Canadian dollar was at 103. I mean, this is just.
Why did gold drop today when the market plummeted? That's unusual.
Yeah, it's actually unusual. And here's what's even stranger. I mean, here we have gold. Let me check here specifically. Gold was at 675.10. That's not much of a drop. That's what it was today. So it dropped. I don't know.
It went down.
$1, I think it won't drop from six.
You would expect it though. When the markets go down, gold should go up.
You would think, but there's a huge manipulation in the market as far as gold goes. Remember, banks leverage themselves against gold. So the specifics here are is that there's no reason with the market up to 14,000 and change for gold to be at 675. I mean, it should be a lot less, but because of the fiat money that's out there that's actually pumping and fueling the markets, gold right now, I think, if you can get it at 11 bucks down, is an excellent long-term investment. And I've always said to people that they should have probably a quarter of what they're doing in metals. I'm still very high on silver because silver's only at silver was $12.95 today.
Gosh, and of course, I remember when it was like at $4.
Down from the high. If you remember when I first started predicting, telling people to get silver, and I said Christmas. Gosh, it's been so many shows now.
If you had bought silver on margin, then how much would you have made? A fortune.
Well, that's when I started recommending it. It was $3. Then I said it was going to be Christmas of 2005, I think. That
of course, you buy on margin, it could go the other way.
Yeah,
so.
I said it was going to be $9 Christmas Day, and it was $9.01, I think. And then I said it was going to go up to 16, and it went to 16.50, and now it's back down to about 12. I'm still very high on silver.
By the way, if anybody's taking notes here, we will have recaps after the show.
Okay, I'll try to, and of course the newsletter has all the stuff in it. But the so silver and if you can afford platinum, but platinum's like $1,300 an ounce now. But copper also is down to $3.52. So my suggestion is, if you want a strategy, number one, I'd put 25% of your money gold, really long term. Silver and copper are much better investments because again, there's only $7 billion worth of silver in the world. 30% of it is owned by Bill Gates. And so Bill Gates, who, by the way, he bought 30% of Caterpillar tractors several months after I made the recommendation on this program. So Gates is one of the major players.
Bill Gates heard this show and bought...
I don't know if he did or not. I'm just telling you that Gates bought into Caterpillar after I told everybody to get into Caterpillar. So
maybe you get your newsletter.
I know people that do, like Henry Paulson got my newsletter for years at Goldman Sachs. And now he's Secretary of the Treasury.
All right, rattle off some specific stock picks before we get to the top of the hour.
I think, once again, the company that makes the Crocs, C-R-O-C-S, Skechers, I think, is good. Nutrisea has been one of our just mad, crazy moneymakers. I told people to sell at 5. It went to 5.10. When I first recommended it on the show, it was 61 cents. It went to 5.10. It's down to about 2.70 now. I think they're purposely driving the stock down specifically to maybe get the company bought by a larger pharmaceutical.
Really? Or maybe short sellers are doing
that
too.
And I think that possibly Nutrisea, if you get into it about now, if you wait till it drops till about, because I think it's going to drop to about 250. The real challenge is that they've brought some people into that company that I think are really mentally deficient. And I think the president of the company is not doing a good job. They brought in General Wesley Clark for some weird reason.
And the brain of that company, she is no longer there, is she?
No, she's out. Well, she's in some kind of big legal fight with them. So, and a lot of it had to do with I think that they're driving the stock down because specifically they're trying to get the company bought out. So there you go. And I'm also looking for, right now, and I'll have some updates for you, I'm looking for oil companies in Paraguay, because Paraguay is going to be a huge new player down there. That's one of the reasons why Bush was in Paraguay. I had a company called Parafin that went from like 2 cents to 51 cents, and then I told people to sell it off because they didn't have the resources to actually exploit anything that they said that they were going to.
See, those penny stocks are fun to play with a little bit of money.
Yeah, with a little. Well, once again, your strategy should be is that 25% should be in metals. Gold for long term. Silver, I still think, is going to double because I think that you're going to see Europe and Russia and possibly even the United States backing certain sectors of currency against silver. And silver very much has the possibility to double and go to $30 I wouldn't say a year, but maybe about 18 months or so. And one other thing I wanted to just tell you about what's going on with the foreign exchange markets is that one of the reasons why the dollar is so crazy high against all these other currencies is because oil is used, petrodollars specifically, are used to trade oil. You can buy oil only one place, and that's London, and you can only pay one currency for it, and that's petrodollars, USDs. And there have been people who are now trying to, the Iranians opened an oil bourse in euros. So there's a lot of pressure in a lot of these countries where they're trying to get off the dollar, and that hasn't been happening. So I think that what's been happening is that by these countries who have such, for example, the rates of their currency are so high against the dollar is a way of them offsetting the high price of energy. Because in essence, and I know this is a very complicated concept here, but with the dollar being as high as it is in these countries, or technically as low as it is against these other currencies, it is in essence giving the people of those countries, like England, France, most of Europe, about a 10 to 15% discount off oil. And that is a lot of the strategy with them keeping their currency.
Do you see oil going to $100 a barrel?
No. I'm surprised it's up as high as it is now. Yeah. The agreements were made amongst these Bilderberger guys a year or so ago that they were accepting of oil at between about $65 and $70 because oil funds all of their other industries. And here's a big fight. You have the Americans who want oil at $100 a barrel because it makes our money more valuable because, once again, oil is traded in dollars. And you have the Europeans who own a lot of the businesses saying oil is the juice that makes everything go, which means that if oil goes up to $100 or so, you're going to see all the other industries begin to fall like dominoes. So there's a huge war behind the scenes now to try to keep oil at some sort of rate. And of course, if the plans to attack Iran, which make a weird kind of sense. I mean, it was explained to me by this intelligence operative who's an advisor to the president, and we could talk a little bit about it.
I want to get into earthquakes and the war and the potential wars.
Okay.
At the top of the hour. Sean, get out your websites.
I'm sorry. It's at www.seandavidmorton.com. It's real easy. S-E-A-N, David Morton, M-O-R-T-O-N, like the salt, like the restaurant. SeanDavidMorton.com, or we're also at DelphiAssociates.org. And the newsletter, again, is it's all up on the site. There's actually an order line as well. The order line is 888-452-7999. That's 888-452-7999. The newsletter is $65 for 1 year. It's $50 for seniors. And coming up in this newsletter, there's going to be a whole series of stock picks and also predictions for the latter half of 2007. And after the summer's over, basically just all hell's going to break loose all over the world. So it's going to be a very, very interesting, very, very interesting set of the next
one. All right, we'll talk about that. Earthquakes, he's made some incredible predictions. Edgar Cayce did too. We're going to put the two of them together, and then we'll talk about the situation worldwide. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM.